got saved, and I didn't listen to good music until I got saved, and I remember adopting Victory in Jesus as my favorite song. Right, almost right away, I thought, that's my song right there. God saved me, changed me, gave me victory, and I learned that one first. And I tell people all the time, I could sell CDs if I could sell my music from the shower. Because I sound really good in the shower. I'm just telling you, I through the years, pastor of 15 years, I would, every now and then on Sunday morning, I'd get fired up.
And I'm a singer, that's what I do in the shower, and I sing, and I get out and call my assistant pastor and said, tell Miss Candy, which was his wife, she's a piano player, I'm going to sing today. I'm singing, He Touched Me. And I'd get to the church, and I'd say, He touched me, yes, He touched me. And then I would do something really stupid. I'd go to YouTube after the service just to see what it sounded like. And then I regret it every time. I'm thinking, I look at my wife and go, why'd you let me do that? And she goes, but honey, it was good. But she said it in a way that you knew she was lying. And I, you know, we can read each other. And I'm like, it was good, all right, I'm sure. And I tell Brother Paul, well, Paul, next time I do that, do not let me do it. And time after time, I would get fired up and say, in our church, they would be so nice to me. Pastor, that was really good. And you could just tell the way they would hold out the word good. I hate that because I'm a reader of people, and I can tell if I know anybody for any amount of time, I can tell if they're stretching a truth line, being nice and all that, and it's a gift and a curse. But I like to sing. I like to sing in church. I think it's very important. I'm glad we could do that. And so looking forward to tonight. I've been praying this week and asking the Lord to kind of lead us. And I believe this is the message tonight. I believe it'll help you. And it helped me years ago. It's probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Psalm chapter 91 is where we're going to be tonight. Psalm 91. And it's a sweet psalm. I love it. And it's helped me out through the years. Just this thought that I'm going to give you tonight. And it's nothing new. I've told you the first day, I'm not going to pull any rabbits out of the hat. You're not going to leave and think, man, this guy really, he amazed me with what he said. And I don't have anything amazing. I got the Bible. And I took homiletics in Bible college, and it was really wasn't the greatest class. And so I am what I am. And I when I preach, I tell people I'm not homiletically correct. Many of you may not even care, and I hope that you don't care. I was preaching in Oklahoma City one year. Years ago, they asked me to preach at this church planter conference, and I was going to preach on the Wednesday night to about 2,000 people on the Wednesday night service. And that night before, on a Tuesday, Brother Davidson, Sam Davidson got up and preached, and he said, folks, what I'm going to say tonight, because he's preached to a Bible college, and he says, I'm not going to be homiletically correct in my preaching. And when I got to preach that Tuesday night, I said, I'm not going to be homiletically correct, because there are some things they teach you. I forgot everything they taught me, so I'm okay with that. But I'm thankful for the Word of God. And I tell our church and I tell young preachers, if you'll just preach the Bible, it'll preach itself. You don't have to do anything extra. And this is the only thing in the place that's supernatural. His word. And so I'm thankful for his word. I believe it'll help us stand. Let's all stand if you're able to stand for just for a moment. And we'll read this whole chapter, 16 verses, and that helps you. If you did not get any Bible reading in today, you're going to read a chapter right in here. It's going to be good. I think you'll enjoy it. And I love it. I don't know who wrote it. Many people think David wrote it, but often in studying the Bible, they say if a man's name is not on there, then usually you would go back to the last time you saw the man's name. So Moses wrote Psalm 90. And so it could have been Moses. It could not. I don't really get too hung up on that. I believe God wrote it. It's inspired. It's preserved. They've tried. You understand, the biggest bloodbath in the history of the world was over this Bible. They literally, killed people, threw people, buried them alive, threw babies against trees and killed them and different things because they wouldn't do the religious thing. And when and the Baptist and the Anabaptist and the Waldens and the ones that held to this book through the years refused to go out of this book and to do what religion said, and therefore they killed them. They put their heads on stakes. They let them on fire. They fed them to animals. They threatened them. They burned them alive. They cut their tongues out. And we have the inspired word of God tonight because of what they did for us. And many of us probably have. I have at least 20 Bibles. I have it on my phone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. I do not trust those things as much as I trust my Bible. I found many mistakes in different things, and not major things that would, send us off into hell or anything. But when you look at the Bible, the word thoroughly and the word throughly is completely different. Some of our Bibles say that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, but the word of God says he should be throughly furnished. And there's a difference in those two words. And so let's look at it tonight. Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me. Now, I want you to notice the emphasis there, or actually how it switches. Now it's God speaking. And in the beginning, it's the psalmist, but now God is taking over, I believe. It says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray, and I'm just going to preach on the secret place tonight. Father, we love you, and I want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God once again. And I'm thankful that we have a more sure word of prophecy, as the Bible tells us. Lord, I'm thankful for how you got it to us, however we may have received it, Lord, however we got saved, if we are saved tonight, Lord, hopefully we've all trusted in the finished work of Christ. And I have turned to you for salvation, to not have to pay our own penalty for our own sins. And we're sure in that. And Lord, but I'm thankful that we have the word of God tonight. We don't have to have a blind leap in the dark. Our faith is built upon the solid rock. Our faith is built upon Jesus, the word of God. And so tonight I ask you, Lord, to speak to us. Change our lives. Help us to leave here encouraged. And to have our eyes and our mind and our and all of who we are chasing you and wanting more and more of you, and to have the assurance that we have a great God, and we need nothing else, Lord. I pray that you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Glad you stood for so long. You did well. We stood strong in there, and so it's good. I love Psalm 91. You know, a lot of times I go to a lot of preachers' meetings and a lot of people, and sometimes I may encounter one in the morning because we may have these morning sessions, and every now and then I'll say, "How are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm doing great. Just got out of my secret place," and I'll admire that. I think, man, what a nice thing. You know, he's just kind of telling me that he got through praying and he just got through spending some time with God, and I believe it's very, very important that we do that, that we spend time with God. I don't believe that because I came up with it. I believe it because the Word of God tells us to. In everything by prayer. Everything we do, we ought to pray. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Paul said that we are to give our lives to prayer. Paul often prayed in the New Testament. When we read his letters, he would often be praying in most of them. And so I'm thankful for prayer, and I'm thankful for the secret place. I have a place in my home. I have three kids and a wife, and normally I get up before all of them. On Mondays, I do not. I sleep while we all sleep in. We don't have school on Mondays in our Christian school. We take the day off, and so I sleep in on Mondays. I'm very tired after a Sunday. But most of the time, I get up before them. I go into my family room. There's a couch there, and I get with the Lord there. Every now and then, my kids have slept in the family room. They did not go to their room, so I go downstairs, and I have a living room area that we have, and it's a nice area, and I get down there on the couch and pray, and then sometimes there's someone sleeping there. So then I adjourn to one of the kids' rooms that are sleeping in these areas, and I go into their bedroom, and I get in there, but I get to a place by myself to be with the Lord. It's so important. And so we would I'd like for you to really understand that is important. But this passage of scripture is a little bit deeper than that. It's a little more than that. There's a little more going on. And listen, this life that we're living in is I don't know much about this town. I don't know much about you, but I know that we're all wrapped in flesh. I know that we have these minds that can deceive us and trick us. I know that we all have problems, probably, whether they are internal problems or outside, or maybe even the news or our country or the towns or whatever may be going on. There's a fight going on in each one of us at times. I don't think that anybody is just smooth sailing all the time. I believe that we're all have the same thing. The same thing's going on. And if we're not careful, we can let those things overpower our lives to where we are captivated by those things so much that we miss what God has for us. And so when we look at this passage of scripture, he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It's dwelleth. And that word dwelleth means to literally stay there. It means to sit down or to just be isolated there. Do not leave there. You live there. He that dwelleth in the secret place. That's why I'm going to tell you tonight, I don't believe that the secret place is a place that I go in the mornings and leave it. But the secret place is a place that you go and you stay. Not physically stay. But it is a place of always to the Christian who is living filled with the Spirit of God, walking with God like God intended us to walk. There is a place that you can go and you can live. Even when you're at work, even when you're at the hospital with something, even when you're with that person that is against you, even when you watch the news channel and you fret a little bit about who's who and who's not who and the different things going on. And I'm telling you, I have all those in my life. But I learned years ago that there is a place I can live, that I can dwell. And I am under the shadow of the Almighty. And I am in a place where God can really help me. And so, very quickly, if you look at it, it says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, Him will I trust? He goes right into that. He says, I'm going to dwell in this secret place of the Almighty. And I want you to know that He is my God. He is my refuge. I love the word refuge in the King James Bible. If you look it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says a place that is inaccessible to the enemy. That's what refuge means. And I love that. And so the writer says, He, God, the Almighty, is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. He is my my trust. Everything is about Him. And listen to me, if you're not careful, in 2020, I'll just give you an example of me. I got very political in 2020 and started getting too much into that. That is not what my life is supposed to be. I do vote. I do believe. I love my country. My dad served 27 years in the Army. We were every 4th of July was special. I do not like flag burners. I do not like any of that stuff. I want this country to do good. But I'm not guaranteed this country, but I am guaranteed Christ. And I can be a Christian without this country. And as much as I love it and don't want to lose it and don't want to see it go anywhere, I'll be okay, because there are many through the last 2,000 years that lost everything they had and Christ never left them. And so we're not guaranteed anything, but we are guaranteed the Lord. And I want to tell you that when you get up in the morning, you've got to get right with God. You've got to get to a place so that you can dwell there the whole day. And it is a place where we have sweet fellowship with God. There have been times in my life where I was not having sweet fellowship with God. People would say, Pastor, could you pray for me? And immediately when they said that, Brother First, in my mind I'd think, man, is God even going to hear me? Well, why would you say that, Pastor Gates? Well, because I'm a wretch. Because I battle my flesh. Because sometimes I'm not as close to God as I should be. And listen, I'm a transparent person. So, I wish I were some of them guys, what I think some of them guys are when I hear them preach, but I'm not. I battle it every day, and they'll ask me to pray, and I'll thank Lord. And when I do pray for them, and I say, God, I know I don't deserve for you to hear anything I've done. I'm not even as close to you as I know I should be. And I'm not rebelling against God. I've just put other things in front of God. And I'm not walking in the secret place like God would have me to walk every single day. There is a place you can go and be safe. There is a place where you can trust and have a refuge and have a fortress and Him be your God and abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. There is a place. And when they ask me to pray, I think, man, I wish I was. But then there have been some times when I'm in that place. And they ask me to pray, and I say, oh, yeah, let's pray right now. Let's get a hold of God right now. And when I start talking, I feel like I'm right there with them already. You understand, God? The Bible says if we were to guard iniquity in our heart, the Lord would, God would not hear our prayers. If we allow stuff to be there that is not supposed to be there, God will not hear your prayer. That is not me. That's God's word, what He says. And listen to me. I have done that many times, but I like when I get that sweet fellowship. When I know that He's right there, that I've confessed everything, that there's nothing between me and my Savior, that I'm walking with Him. Not trying to be prideful with you. I'm just telling you, there is a secret place. And when I get in that place, it doesn't matter what happens on the news channel. It doesn't matter what comes through the door. It doesn't matter what happens on the telephone. It doesn't matter what happens to the church. It doesn't matter what's going on in my physical being. God is with me, and I'm walking in a place, and I'm under the shadow of the Almighty, and it makes a difference. There is a place. Let me just give you this very quickly. It says this, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So the snare is a trap that they would catch birds in. I'm sure, do you have bear here? Yeah, I'm sure you've seen a bear trap, and you don't want to get caught in one of them. But He says He'll deliver us from that snare if we are in the secret place. He said, well, what does that exactly mean? He says, well, to deliver us from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. You won't get caught in the traps of life. You may get caught up in a trial or something going on, but it will not catch you up here. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That is the part that, you know, we say, God saved my soul. Well, God didn't save your soul. He saved your spirit. Your soul is where you think. And listen, my mind is not saved. It does really good when it's in tune with the spirit. But sometimes my mind is out there. And listen to me. He says he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. It won't bother you if you walk with God. Now, listen, we're going somewhere with this. And I want you to understand, you've got to get to the place. If you walk around fretting all day, you're not in a secret place. But if you'll take time to get with God and make sure you're right with him and make sure that you want him and you're submitting to him. Submission is key. Submitting to the Lord. And it says this, that it says, and from the noisome pestilence. Listen, we live in a very noisy world. I live for 13 and a half years, live right next to the church there in Kensington. And there is always something. I lived across the street from the fire department. And it was the busiest fire department in the city of Philadelphia and one of the top five in America. They were always going in and out. And the houses there are row homes and boy, I tell you, you can hear everybody outside. There was gunshots all the time. There was cussing all the time. There were cars riding by with loud music all the time. It was just always something going on. As a matter of fact, I have to put some noise on my phone to sleep in your place right here. Not fire departments or police cars or anything like that. Just white noise because I can't take the quietness. And listen to me. God delivers you from the noisome pestilence. I'm not here to tell you that I'm anybody, but I moved. You'll see the video tomorrow. When you watch that video, I didn't go looking for that. That's all right there. And so what happened, Burton? Well, I moved there from Arkansas, of all places, to the inner city of Philadelphia. And before we ever started the church, I was telling you, Pastor, a man was shot on my doorstep and killed before I ever started the church. They hid drugs on our property. There was so much going on. And you know what? God delivered me from the noisome pestilence. It was still noisy outside, but I was delivered from it. Matter of fact, I slept like for years like a baby. I mean, I was gone, drooling. My wife would wake me up. Did you hear that noise? I'm like, go figure out what it is, honey. And he said, well, you send your wife? Well, it was my first thought. But when I woke up, I thought, okay, I'll check. It was never nothing. We've never had a problem. God delivers from the noisome pestilence. See, there is a place that you can go, and the noise of this world, the problems of this world will have none effect on you. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. God says, I don't know if you, years ago there was a Field and Stream magazine. The front page of it was I think out here in this area, somewhere in the plains or something, there's a big wildfire and a mother, and I don't believe it was a chicken or anything, but it was some kind of bird, had covered her babies, and the fire went over them, and the mother was dead, but when they lifted that mother up, those babies were under there. And boy, it's a great illustration what Jesus did for us. He died for us, but he covered us. And that's the way God does it for us. It doesn't mean, listen, the person that they got their heads cut off for the name of the Lord, he said, well, they didn't get delivered. Sure they did. They sure did, because they could have recanted, and they didn't. They had peace of God. The lady that got her tongue cut out because she wouldn't quit praising the Lord as she went to the stake to be burned, she didn't get delivered. Sure she did. Why else would she let them cut her tongue out? I often think, what am I going to do if persecution comes? I think I'm tough, but I might not be. Paul was in prison for 2 years. When he let him speak, he started speaking to Festus and Agrippa about getting saved in Acts 26. I might have been like, what? What happened? Paul was delivered from the noisome pestilence. All the people in the Bible were delivered from the noise of pestilence. God does that when we walk with him. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. I don't know if you know what a buckler is, but you know, if you watch these old movies where they had battle, they'd have these shields, and when they shoot those arrows out, these guys would get in a formation, they'd get down, they put these bucklers over their heads, and they'd be covered all around, and the arrows would just kind of fall off. God says he's your shield and your buckler. He'll get you from the top, he'll get you from the front. He takes care of you. But that's he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, who stays there, who doesn't leave there when it's first. Now listen, I've left there many times right after praying. I've gotten up, prayed, and had the best time of my life. And then something happened with my kids or my wife, and next thing you know, I'm like wild man Bert. I'm like, what is wrong with me, Lord? And I'm like, Lord, forgive me. You know what happens when I ask God to forgive me and I ask the person that I may have offended or gotten a little bit crazy with? I get right back to the secret place. I get right back to where God wants. Do you live in that secret place tonight? Is God your everything? He said, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flieth by day. Listen, nothing bothers you. It's sweet sleep at night. During the day, it's not offensive to you. Doesn't hurt you. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Hey, that doesn't mean that you're protected from anything happening to you. It means that it will not affect you. It's the secret place. The secret place of the Most High. Let me just give this to you. Number one, it says he. It's a personal place. He that dwelleth in the secret place. And by the way, ladies, it's she also. It's for all of us. It's a personal place. It's a perpetual place. Dwelleth, stays there. It's not a place you just visit. It's a place you live. Perpetual, never ceasing, continuing. It's a precise place. He that dwelleth in the secret place. It's a place where it is precise. And it is exactly with God. Dennis Corll used to say, get God on the phone and shoulder the phone all day long. I mean, we don't really understand that sometimes. God doesn't want us to be in the morning. God wants us all day long, sweet fellowship, talking to him and dwelling in the secret place. That's the key to the Christian life. And folks, listen to me. Everybody take your hand and put it in front of you like this. Everybody do this real quick. And I blow on it and go, did you feel anything? All right, good. You're still here, and God wants you to dwell in the secret place. If you didn't feel anything, you're not here. Hey, it's a personal place, a perpetual place, a precise place. It's a place. It's the secret place. It's a place where we go. It's an actual real location. And it's with the Most High, it's priceless. I mean, we get God. It nothing greater than him. God Almighty, the one that spins the world on his hand like a basketball. The one that flung the stars in the sky, spoke the world into existence. So I don't know about all that. Listen, creation itself, this world itself, if you don't believe there's a God, especially where you live, I mean, all this beauty, I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, just anything. You can look at anything in this world. And I mean, listen, just the chair. I mean, everything in here is an illustration of God. What's the chair? God holds us up. What's the door? He's willing to take us in. What's the light? He brightens our day. What's the cross? Jesus died. What's the thermostat? That's why God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to be thermometers. He wants us to be thermostats. I mean, everything's an illustration of God. Everything we look around, you can find God in everything. The trees, the creation. My wife, my son was born, before he was born, she got preeclampsia. And for about 2 months, she had to lay on her left side. And she had the baby a month early, had a C-section. She had high blood pressure, preeclampsia, toxemia. And every week we got to get these, whatever, where they take the camera and look at the baby. What is it? Yeah, the ultrasound. And it was awesome. When that boy was this big, he had fingernails. You could see every piece of his spine. You could see everything. I thought, that's unbelievable. How could anybody
want to hurt that? How could anybody not believe there's a God? We're the only animal on this earth that can reason. I mean, God did so much for us that just me alone and you alone, God is real, and God loves us. And God gives us this precious promise that he'll be with us. It's priceless. It's a promise. He shall abide. The proximity, it's under his shadow. It's powerful. He's almighty. He's everything. There is a place where you can go. There is a place that God has for you. It's a refuge. It's a habitation. No evil. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give the angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I don't understand how guardian angels work, but I know we either all have one or every family has one. And they move at the speed of light. So they can be from North Carolina, where my mom and dad used to live, to Philadelphia, protecting all of us, however it works. But God gives angels charge over. They take care of us. I don't think we're going to get to heaven and see videos, but I often think, man, it'd be cool if we got to heaven and then we see like where the angel took care of us and we didn't know it. God's always taking care of us. God wants to take care of us. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And he says this, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me. My iPad, I've set it upon this. God wants us to put our love upon him. And the only way to know God is to spend time with God. And it isn't correct. I mean, it isn't speaking with big words and sounding eloquent. Although some people do a lot really well at that, and that's their natural language. Mine isn't. Mine's usually just like, Lord, I love you today. And I really need you. Would you just speak to me? Would you just help me? And it's so wonderful when I know God is meeting with me. And it's so wonderful that I can get in that little truck that Brother Bob's let me drive and know that he's going with me. And with me and the preacher down there doing a little bit of work and driving down to get lunch and coming back and knowing that he's there, me walking over here and Miss Stacy had made some tortilla soup or I know she worked at a Mexican restaurant, so I thought, man, this is really good soup. Did she make that soup? Or she it was delicious. And coming over here and knowing God's here and walking back. And I'm telling you, I thought about that often today, how God is with me. And I didn't know I was preaching this message till 5 o'clock today. But I thought, man, it's been a great day. You know, it's been a great day because I've been in a secret place. And didn't focus on that all morning so I could preach that to you. I've been in a secret place for God today. And now it's easier for me because I've got no distractions. There's really not a lot of distraction for me. When I answer the phone, I get distractions. I coach high school football. And it's just flag football for our church, 8-man football, and we got next week we got 4 games. I'm terrible at getting this stuff done, and we're gonna play Monday and Tuesday. And we got a tournament Thursday and Friday, and I wasn't here this week, and I'm really the only one that knows football, although the coaches, and I'm like, all right, guys, take them out and practice them 2 hours. I told them exactly what to do, and here's what I'll say. I said, Brother JR is my assistant. He knows a little bit. He played flag football in high school, and I gave him specific instructions on flag drills, blocking drills, passing drills, run the offense a little bit. The offensive playbook is in the back of my car. Dale, my son, is the quarterback. He will understand it. Let him do it. So they did all that, and so then I call, and Dale, how practice go? It went good, Dan. It went good. Well, it was a little bit different at the end, and I go, what happened? And in my text to Brother J.R., I said, Brother J.R., I have another sister pastor named Harrison. Harrison's a good guy, but I was listening to him coach my boys the other day during the game, and he wasn't saying the right stuff. He was telling them to do stuff you're not supposed to do that wouldn't work. And I let it go. I said, oh, whatever. And I said, Brother J.R., make sure Harrison does not tell them boys anything that's wrong. He gives bad advice sometimes. He doesn't know football. And so it was hilarious. And so Dale calls me and tells me everything went good. And then he goes, boy, it was a little different because Brother Harrison got in the huddle and gave us some new plays. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, he gave some new plays. And I said, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, that's dumb. And my wife, my wife's so nice. She's like, Burton, or Dale, stop it. Daddy's going to call and get on Harrison. And I said, no, I'm not worried about it. It's okay. It's no big deal. And I looked at my text, Brother JR, make sure Harrison doesn't do anything. And I don't want new plays, and we're not going to run his plays. I'm too stubborn to run his. I have plays, and we have stuff that's going to work. And I, you know, I could have, you said, that's nothing. Well, might be nothing for you, but I like when I give really good instructions, very clear ones, and say, don't mess this up. Well, what they did, well, they kind of changed the game plan a little bit. My wife's thinking I'm going to call, but I'm not calling. As a matter of fact, I thanked them all. Good job today, guys. I appreciate it. That's not normally me, especially if I'm not in a secret place. I'm very stubborn, ornery, and not right a lot. I'm alpha male, too, and so it's kind of like, normally I'm like, what were you thinking? Don't give them new plays. Why would you ever do that? You don't even know football and stuff like that. But you know, I want to be in a secret place where no matter, and that's something little for you, but that's my major distraction this week since I've been here. I mean, that's great. I have nothing. I'm able to live in a secret place very easily here in that room because I don't have any distraction. My biggest deal was the boy that tried to run some new football plays. Now, he's not a boy. He's a young man, 24 years old. And so what I'm saying to you, but you live here. You might have had some stuff happen today, some things that really, really affect you. And how you respond to those will be determined by where you're dwelling. Doesn't mean they're going to go away. It means you're going to have peace. It's a peace that passeth all understanding, Paul says. And he says, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hey, the secret place is a satisfying place. And it doesn't happen on accident and it does not allow for you to live in sin. And listen, sin is sin, whether it, you know, little white lies or a little bad attitude here and, you know, they shouldn't have done that to me. And, man, it's still sin. And when we know it and we don't deal with it, we can't be in a secret place. And that's, you know, God doesn't even want to hear my prayers or if I'm not right with my wife, the Bible says. And I got a Jersey wife. And what I mean by that, she's a tough cookie, and I'm tough. And so it's kind of sometimes it's like I wish you would give in, honey, and she wishes I would give in, and we're not giving in. And someone has to live in a secret place. Sometimes it's her, and she'll say, Burton, whatever you think we should do, that's fine. And then immediately I'll go, I think I'm not right here. You know, Karen, I'm going to go with you. But if she pushes me and I'm not right, then I'm not giving either. Or sometimes I have to be in the secret place. I'm in the secret place and she's not right. And I say, well, honey, you just pray about it, you think about it. And although I'm the man, you think about it, pray about it, babe. And then I pray for her. Lord, help her to see it. Help her to understand it. And God always takes care of these things. And listen, tonight, where are you living? Are you in the secret place under the shadow of the Almighty? Are you being delivered from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence of this world, for the arrow that flieth at noonday, for the things that happen suddenly when cancer comes? I'm talking to folks in here that probably have experienced that kind of stuff. Families and different things. My wife just got diagnosed with MS, and that's hard on us. We've not told anybody in church. My kids don't know yet. We're trying to wait till we see the doctor, and we've known for years. She's just a little bit things happening to her, and you know what? What did it do? It put us on our knees and saying, you know, Lord, you didn't make a mistake. You're always good. and we'll be fine. And they've come a long ways with that stuff where they can keep that from progressing and different things. And she doesn't want anybody to feel sorry for her. Well, what's going to help the whole deal? Us living in a secret place. She's my little lady, man. I want to protect her with everything. But my wife won't keep going, man. 5 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night, no time in between. Every now and then she'll get on the bed from 4 to 4:30 and sleep. But most of the time she's wide open with my kids, with the Christian school, with me. We try to protect her. What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that I got to be in a secret place to deal with it. My kids don't really understand it yet. My son, he made a silly remark the other day to my wife. She started crying with me, and he said, "Mom, you keep forgetting everything." And I said, "Honey, he doesn't know what we're going through right now." And she doesn't keep forgetting everything. Teenagers are just teenagers. And she might have forgot something, and he's like, you know, using these terms like, "You always forget." And no, she doesn't. And so I said, "Honey, he's not making a statement about your health. He doesn't even know. And if he knew, he wouldn't say that. But that's not why you forgot to bring his cleats to the Christian school that he left at home." "Mom, you always forget everything." She goes, "I forgot." She told me the other day, "I went downstairs into the kitchen, forgot why I went down there, Bert." And she's crying. I'm like, "Well, then I got MS. I've been doing that for 20 years. I go from different parts of the house and can't remember. I call people and say, "Hey, I don't know why I called you." And that's probably all of us. Hey, listen, it's important that you get into the secret place. Got to walk with God. You've got to humble yourself before God and spend some time with him to get into the secret place. You cannot every day of your life say, "Well, I'm busy, I got time, I'm going to pray on the way down to the school. Pray on the way to the church, pray on the way home, pray wherever I'm going." You can do that every now and then, get away with that if you legitimately oversleep and different things. I understand that. But if you'll take a time to get up, you're going to feel the same way at 6:30 as you will at 6. That snooze button ain't helping anybody in here. It doesn't matter what time I get up. I've been tired since I got saved. I could lay on that front row right now and go right to sleep. But I do know that I have to get up, spend time with God. And then I got to try to get him and walk out of that little room with him. And then when I notice that I've broke from him, I've got to get back to him, because it makes all the difference. And as a pastor, I need that. But I really just need it as a Christian. I need it as a daddy. I need it as a husband. I need it as a friend. I need it as a son. My mom lives with us, and we have a house that's kind of a duplex. And my dad passed in 2020, and she still hadn't. She's never going to recover from that. And I have to be there for her. And she's, my mom is a great lady, but she's a little negative lately, you know. And then she's just kind of fighting this thing, and I just have to just keep on picking her up. And sometimes I'm going to say, "Ma, stop being negative." But I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I'm in a secret place. And it doesn't matter what anybody says to me. I'm nobody, and if I remain with God, I can take everything. Hey, tonight, whatever's weighing you down, it may be weighing you down because you're not in a secret place, in a place that's perpetual, that's personal, that it's precise. It's all right there for the taking. And tonight, if we want revival in our lives, and I hope that you do. That's what this is. He just didn't have a meeting just to, you know, pass the time. And it's amazing. Now, everybody understand this. It's amazing how we'll become fatigued this week, sitting here for the hour. I'm like, "Man, it's been a rough week. We've been in church every night." And I was a wild man before I got saved, man. I was always on the move. And then we have revival at our church, and I get stressed out because I'm always thinking about everybody. But by the end of that revival, I'm like, "Man, that was, gotta get some rest." All this was an hour at night we'd hear preaching and stuff. Don't let that fool you. Don't let your body trick you. Get to the secret place with your mind, your will, and your emotions, your spirit. Get in there and fellowship with the Lord. Allow God to do something in your heart. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. And thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for these dear folks, Lord. Each one of us desire to be closer to you, to be more like you, to be shaped by you, to be able to please you. And Lord, we get bogged down in this life, the nasty now. And Lord, I cannot wait to be in the sweet by and by, as we sang. But Lord, you didn't save us just to go to heaven. You saved us so you could be our Savior, our sweet place that we'd be able to, the secret place that we'd be able to abide in and live in, even in this world that seems so distraught and so uncomfortable at times and so out of whack. And it seems like everybody has these opinions that are so crazy, Lord. But God, I know that it's always been like that. And it may seem more and more now, Lord, but I don't believe that to be true. 2,000 years ago, they were going through the same things that we're going through now, maybe even worse. And Lord, you found a way to triumph with them. And I believe that it was all the Christians that triumphed and gave their lives. They were in a secret place. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Preacher has these white things in his ears. He didn't have them right now, but he has them during the day. You've seen them before. And then he's got a phone somewhere. And then all of a sudden he'll start talking. And I think he's talking to me, and then I realize, no, he's not talking to me. He's talking to somebody in Philadelphia. And that's what it's like to just talk to God all the time. We don't have to have the white plastic things in our ears. But it's a secret place where you just, in other words, you didn't need to come to this building to meet with God. You can just walk with him all the time. And that's why it says pray without ceasing. And we shouldn't flip a switch and have God time.
Right.
It should just be all the time. That's how it used to be when Adam was walking with God in the garden. It was just all the time. And what we do is we kind of flip a switch and, okay, now it's religious time. And that's not, and that doesn't do us a lot of good, because then we flip the switch off and then it's some other time. So tonight, before we leave, I just want to take time for just a few moments and maybe talk to God about, because I'm sure besides me, someone else in this room is thinking, you know, I just need to have that all the time. And I love the point. It doesn't say he that spends 15 minutes in the secret place. It says he that dwelleth. That just means you're just there. And we just need to learn to just keep the phone line open. You know, like was said. Just stay on the phone. And then if you're going, what'd you say, God?
Yeah.
You know? Just that way. And so let's just, before we get up and leave, let's just stop and ask God to help us, or maybe talk to God about something he's told us about before we leave. Lord, help us to just walk with you every day. Help us to not flip a switch or to treat you like an idol where we leave you on a shelf somewhere. Help us to just conscientiously walk with you, talk with you, and have an open line of communication, that we would just dwell, that we would just continue on, that we'd walk in the Spirit, that we'd take advantage of the opportunity that you give Christians to have an open line of communication. Help us to realize that's how we're supposed to live. It would help us in our response with people. It would help us respond to situations. It would just help us to be able to speak the right things, to know what's to be said and what should be done. So help us just to dwell with you. Help us to realize that's what you want. You just want us to walk with you, like Adam was walking in the garden with you. And so help us to walk with you. Help us to just be able to do that day in, day out. If there's someone here that doesn't know you and isn't able to do that, they don't have that personal relationship, that they would come to know you as Savior. But once we are saved, help us, Lord, to realize it's not just certain times of the day or certain days of the week or certain places. It's just all the time.
Yes.
So help us to dwell with you. We thank you for the reminders tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.